Morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. I just want to keep going with this theme about, firstly, we look at David, who is a man after God's heart, right? And then I went on into just focusing about, because God loves the house. You can fire up the first. All right, so we're talking about building, as sons of God, we want to build the house of God, right? Amen? And I gave some examples about people who, how God blessed those who contribute to the building of his house. And we look at the life of the centurion and how he received all these different blessings. And today, what I want to do is like to focus on what is it, or the characteristics of God's house, or what is God looking for when we come to his house, so that we know what we're talking about when we say we build God's house. Because it's not just about contributing in tithes and offering. Yes, that's important, that's one aspect of it. But remember, when we talk about building God's house, for example, building the atmosphere for him to come and dwell among us, that's also important. So that comes into, in terms of attitude or mindsets of how we come, for example, to church today. When we come to church, what do we expect? What do we come here for? Yeah, so this is what I want to touch on today. And as sons of God, there's a lot of focus now about, you know, hearing the voice of God. To hear the voice of God, it means that you need to have that close relationship with God. There is this call for each and every one of us, for sons, to build this relationship back with the Father, right? And we want God the Father to dwell among us at all times. In fact, because we ourselves are temple, as Pastor Joseph said, we carry the presence of God. We also have God in us, right? And Jesus, the best example, when he was on earth, he wasn't on earth as God. He was on earth as a man. But he was on earth as a man, filled with God. All right, I hope you all are very familiar with this phrase, because we should have just gone through it in life group, right? Because if Jesus were to walk on earth as God, then what he said was, then we have no chance to be like him. Do you understand? But he came on earth to be an example for us, to be sons of God, how to walk like sons of God, having God in us. Amen. All right, having the Holy Spirit with us at all times. So, and also, the part about building the house is that, yes, the house is here, but we are not just part of it. We're not just here in presence, but we are also contributing. We are also building the house, all of us together. Amen? All right, so if we go to the next... I don't have control. Alright, so this is the scripture that we went through last time. Let's read it together. Alright, 1 Chronicles 29:1-3. 1, 2, 3. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, for the house of my God, I prepared with all my might." Okay, just stop there. So here, I want you to focus that the house of God, or the temple that David built, was for who? Was for God, not for man, okay? Just keep that in mind. And then let's read the second part, so don't worry about what he prepared, you know, gold, silver, and all that. So, from moreover, 1, 2, 3. "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver." So David, as a man after God's heart, knows that the house of God is in his heart, in God's heart. So when he knows that, when he builds God's house, he knows he's doing it for God. You understand? It comes out of that relationship of him and Father God. So when before we, because next week is Mission Sunday, right? So we're all thinking about sowing. Don't think about what is it that, wow, God loves. Think about what God really enjoys seeing happening on earth. And then out of our relationship with Him, then He tells us what we can contribute. Then we also, when we contribute, we're not contributing out of our own effort. All right, it's out of that relationship. Okay, and we know that in Psalms, like Psalms 26, Psalm 24, we see David's desire always to be in the house of God, always want to spend time with God. Amen. All right, and next, all right, and oh, maybe. Oh, I didn't turn it on. Okay, all right, and this is to summarize basically. From the last message, so that we can continue on today. So, it should make it easier once we know what to love or what we are loving, that God is also loving, which is basically His house and His body or His people. And when we contribute to that, then God looks highly of those who build His house, a place for God's people to worship Him, like the centurion that we covered before. All right, everyone say with me the third word there, or number three, co-labor. Everyone say with me, co-labor. And read the rest. We are not only part of the house, but we are also building the house. Okay? So here, we know that Jesus is building His church. Everyone agree? Amen? Yeah. All right? But He's not doing it alone. All right? He wants all of us to co-labor with Him. In fact, when He asks us to build His house, He's not even asking us to build without any resources, right? As Pastor just declared, you know, in God's will, there is God's build, right? Or he said it a bit different today. He said it in God's will, there is His provision, all right? So, why? Why does God give us all this so that we build? It's because He wants to work together with us, all right? That's this whole concept about building God's house. And when we go through the life group lesson about unlocking destiny, remember that the way that the enemy can stop from God, stop God's purpose from being fulfilled, is to stop the believers from achieving their destiny. Right? What does that mean? In the positive, then, if each one of us fulfill our destiny, then we are contributing to the fulfillment of God's purpose here on earth. Amen? Yeah? And we talk about courtroom of heaven and all this. It's so that we have the weapons or the gifts or the talents or whatever we need to build God's house. Amen? So all these provisions and blessings that God is giving us is so that we can contribute back to the house of God. Can you see that he wants us to build His house, and not only that, but He also provides everything for that. Amen? Okay, so we go to the next one. And we talk about church unusual, all right? And the scripture there is Genesis 28, as you know, when Jacob fell asleep, and then he declared this. This is the house of God, gateway to heaven, right? And basically, a church unusual is where it's God's habitation and dwelling place for God to freely move, manifest, and transact. Now, when we talk about church unusual, if you're not familiar by now, it's not that it's unusual or weird. Okay? When we talk about church unusual, it is because it's extraordinary. All right? It is supernatural. It is spiritual. All right? It's not. In fact, what we want to experience, all these things, is to be usual to us. The workings of miracles, you know, the supernatural things, that we want that to be usual. In church unusual, it's a bit of a paradox. Do you get what I mean? All right, so when we talk about this, we don't want to be normal. All right, we don't want to be church normal. All right, so we want to become, everyone say with me, church unusual. Okay, but yet all the supernatural things should be common and usual to us. All right, it shouldn't be weird. Okay, all right, now focusing then back onto God's house, or a place so that God can dwell, alright? I want to focus on five things today, alright? If you all can read with me, firstly, these are the mindsets that we should have whenever we come to gather together. All right? Let's just read. Number one, everyone say with me, a meeting place for God and men. Number two, a dwelling place for His presence. Number three, an outpouring place for His favor. Number four, a revealing place for His power. And number five, a governing place for His kingdom. So just briefly, number one, when we all come here, the first thing we should think about is we are here to meet God. All right? We're not against, yes, we call Evangel Christian Fellowship. Fellowship is so that we fellowship with one another. That's all not wrong, okay? It's part of the programs and all. It's good because it is what God encourages. But the main thing that we all come is firstly is to meet God. And it's not just Sunday church, in life group, in prayer meeting. Wherever we are gathering together, the first thing is to meet God. And we meet God together, okay? The second one, dwelling place for His presence. This one I'm going to talk about. What do we do to allow God's presence to be here and for God's presence to linger a while more? All right? There are things, there are order that God does like in terms of getting His presence to remain with us. You know, Pastor Mei-Chin always being very practical, you know, about, you know, putting things around the worship team area, right? Like drink bottles and things like that. He always said, don't put, you know, honor that, honor, you know, all these things. Yeah, we need to prepare a place that God's presence can be here, okay? And then three, an outpouring place. So once we get God's encounter, we get His presence, then His favor will be poured upon us. And then the fourth one where, you know, we see His power to transform our life, power to do whatever we are coming against or whatever we are trying to overcome, that power to overcome that happens. And the last one is about when God's presence come on the gathering of His people, we call it the ecclesia, right? The church is the ecclesia. It's the call-out ones. Call-out ones for what? It's to govern the region. Amen? All right? So again, I hope that you're familiar with these phrases because we are going through that in life group. About when as a governing body, right, the church is meant to be that governing in this region. And if there's something that happens in that region, it is because the church has failed to govern or failed to, you know, what we call, you know, bring to courtroom of heaven, take legal grounds and things like that, right? Okay, so I won't go too much into that. You do a lot more in life group. Okay, now, I'll go through in detail only the first three points because the fourth and the fifth is kind of, it's like a new, whole new topic basically, all right? Okay. Everyone say with me, meeting place for God and man. So first, we see in the Old Testament where God asked, like for example, Moses to build the tabernacle, right? And also, for example, asked David to build the temple. But it's called Solomon's Temple because Solomon in the end who is the one who built it. We see here, God really desires a place where He can come and meet men. Or He can meet us, all right, face to face. In there, I put that access. He really wants us to have access to Himself. That's why, firstly, when we come to God's house, the first thing we should have in our mind is we are coming to meet Him. Amen? All right? And not only that, when we see how the instructions were given to build the tabernacle and the temple and all, we see that God has ways, has standards. You know, we cannot just carelessly come to Him. All right, there are some order. We see in Revelations 4 and 5, the revealing of the throne of God in heaven. We see all that has order, right? Even with the way they worship, the way they proclaim blessing, honor, glory, and power, we see all this has a order, right? So when we come to God, you know, we should remember that, yes, the grace of God is upon us, or we have already got the grace to enter the throne room of God, but we also must remember we cannot just come carelessly, right? Another analogy is that we must wear the right clothing, right? We must have the cloak of righteousness before we come to Him. So be mindful that, you know, He has a way of how we are to approach Him, but yet, we shouldn't be too scared that, oh, if I can't do it, then that I don't meet God. It's not about that. It's the point is we meet God first. As sons of God, we have to meet the Father. We have to build relationship with the Father. Yes? All right? But we also cannot be callously, like, you know, no order. All right? So the emphasis then here is that it is a place to meet God, and it's not to be filled too many with man's activity. All right? Because we see that Jesus in the gospel, what did he declare? You have made, well, my house meant to be a house of prayer, but you have made into a den of thieves. Yeah? So there are things that God does want to have in his house. Yeah? Amen? All right. So next one. All right. At this place where we see in God's house, especially in Revelations 4 and 5, we see God being accessed, which means we can really meet God in God's house. All right. Secondly is angels are impacted, or we call it angels are activated. All right. And the last one is we as saints, when we meet God, we are being transformed. All right. So when we come, how should we take this then as what we call sons of God coming to meet our Father? Come expecting to see our Father, firstly. Secondly, know that, you know, God has prepared these angels to be activated for us, right? And the last one is, come expecting to be transformed. When God touches us, we are bound to be transformed. Amen? All right? Are you all following me? Yeah, yeah? Okay. All right. Second one. Everyone say with me, a dwelling place for his presence. Okay? In Exodus 33, 14 to 16, this is here, even though it's not specific about house of God, but Moses here is saying, you know, as he was talking to God, he asked God, your presence must go with us. If not, there's no point. And then God gave the promise to Moses, said, yes, I will be with you. My presence shall go with you. All right? So we need God's presence for whatever we are doing. All right? Without God's presence, without him in the picture, then it's all in vain. All right? Even when we talk about, you know, if God is not building a house, then we build in vain. If God is not watching, then we who watch also watch in vain. Right? So anything we do, firstly, must have God in it. Secondly, as I was talking about, knowing God well to know what he likes, right? Because we want God to remain as long as he can, right? Or as long as he wants. So, firstly, our attitude then is, then we also better not rush. No hurry spirit. Have you heard of this before? Yeah. Now, again, the balance here is, we're not against timing, we're not against order, we're not against structure, but it shouldn't limit how God wants to move. Amen. So again, when we come, you know, sometimes I'll confess, sometimes some days or some Sundays that I come, I do look at the clock a lot more times than usual. Okay? I hope I'm not the only one, or if I'm not the only one, then okay. Right? Sometimes you just you know, you keep looking, I wonder what, and then you start thinking already what you're going to plan to do in the afternoon, and then you get excited, but then you forgot, or I forgot, that I come here is to meet God, and to meet him as long as I can. How about that? Yeah? So, I put there the story, we won't go through the story, in Judges chapter 6, 17-23, here, you know, Gideon actually said this word, can you wait here, so that I can go and prepare the sacrifice and the offering. Can you see their heart? They really want God to just stay there. All right? And Abraham, in Genesis 18, 3-5, we see the three men, or what you call three angels that come. You know, he said, can you stay while I make bread or something for you to eat? Can you see there the attitude? All right? I'm not saying we should go and start preparing bread for God here. Okay? But you see the attitude of, God, just remain a bit longer. All right? Just remain a bit longer. All right? So that's one thing, number one. Number two, so that's the timing part. Number two is that if we have a close relationship with Him, we have intimacy with Him, then we should know what He really likes to keep Him around so that we can build His house right and build it in the way He wants, because there is divine pattern to everything that God does. Do you agree? Yeah, there is divine pattern. So, you know, when it's time for, like, for say, take for example, worship. Now, the music helps to bring God's presence, but we really need to be led by the Holy Spirit for that. Sometimes it is a joyful time to celebrate. Sometimes it's more, what's the word? Like the holy songs, you know? And we just soft, and we want, like, God's presence to, you know, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord come down, you know? That there are seasons for that, there are, and we got to be really sensitive. And when that time happens, then don't like, oh, gotta go, you know, things like that. Really learn to, because have you met someone and you know that he has to rush off somewhere and you want to just catch up, right? But you can see that this guy is not with you. He's already gone, going somewhere else. So, if we say that, yes, God, I want you here, but then your mind is like, I want to go home and, oh, the game is starting soon, for example, or something. You know, God's going to see that. If we as humans can discern that in our friends, sometimes when we meet, how much more God who can seize our heart? Yeah? So we really want to have... Now, I just bring you back. This is all still talking about building, right? It's not actively the building, like, you know, putting walls and all that, but all this contributes to building. Why? Because it's going to make God stay, right? And when God stays and dwells, that's the house. So it's like saying, if you want to use the word build, then you don't build a temporary house for God in yourself as well. Or when we gather, or when you have your devotions maybe, your personal time. If we have that rush, hurry, hurry spirit, then we are like the friend who invites you to his house, but yet he say, I have to go at, you know, in 15 minutes. But no, let's spend time. But I have to go. Eh? Just to give you, you know, that's not what we want with God. You understand? Amen? All right? And then the last one here is that once God's presence is there, like in 1 Kings, when he put his name on the temple of Solomon, then he will give his seal of approval. And his seal of approval is usually he give it his name. Okay, that either is the tabernacle or temple, you know, God say he will put his name, because his name will represent his person, his nature, his word, or his purpose, his power, his way, and acts. So here we really want to build a house for him that so much so that he feel his presence, that he will also put his name there. Amen? All right, we want to call it House of God. All right, we don't want to call it House of whatever your name is. All right? Yeah? Amen? Okay? It's really like what David said, we want to build something not for man, but it's for God. All right? So it all comes back to our attitude. How do we come together when we gather together? All this attitude that we have, it's going to contribute to the building of the house of God. Amen? All right. So last one here, number three, is an outpouring place. Everyone say with me, an outpouring place for his favor. All right. So here we take from Genesis 28. This is Jacob's journey, right? We see that in Genesis 28:13-15, you know, when God begins to meet Jacob here, he reconfirms his covenant, or God's covenant with Abraham, right? He say, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father and God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give you and your descendants. So we see that in this place, Jacob receives the promise again. Like, not, we won't call it again, but, you know, he receives that promises that was given to his father and his grandfather. Yeah? And then God continues to give him this promise, right, and blessing. Now, interesting thing about this is that Genesis 28 is during a time of Jacob where he's going through two major challenges, all right? Number one is, at this point of time, he was running away from Esau. Do you remember that? All right, long story short, because he stole the blessings of Esau, right? By pretending he was hairy and all that, because his father was already almost blind and couldn't tell. Yeah. So remember, Esau wanted to kill him, and so he was running away. That's number one. Number two challenges is he was finding a wife. All right, he was looking for a wife, right? And okay, I don't say that it's a challenge to get a wife. I'm saying the process of him going have to find one. You know, remember that it says, I don't want you to marry a woman of Canaan. I want you to go there to find an appropriate wife. Okay? All right? Okay, you're scaring me. Okay? All right? Do you understand? Right? Finding the wife is a good thing. The process, what is his challenges? Like how do I go and find? All right? So these two things, okay? Long story short is that because when he encountered God, these two problems was overcome, or God helped him. All right? Can you help me a bit more? All right? All right, okay. Let's move on here. All right. Okay, now, we see that here, when he met God, well, when God's presence was upon his life, God gave really favor to Jacob that, you know, obviously we know the story that Esau didn't kill him, right? And he was reconciled to his brother. And also, when he have met God, then he met Rachel, his wife, okay? So we see here, and what better blessing is there than finding a wife? Okay. Okay, yeah. But the point is, he met God first. All right, he met God first. God poured his blessing. He encountered God's presence. He got a God encounter. And then all these things in his life changed. Amen? His destiny was changed. Instead of running away, he's now reconciling back. Instead of looking for something, not sure where, but he found what he needed, right? Amen? Okay, and he found the best, okay, because it's a wife, all right? I know that. Okay. All right, next. Are you all okay today? Yeah? Okay. All right, now. Okay, now. All right, I just want to conclude with this, okay? We're talking about God's house, okay? Talking about God's house, okay? We're talking about building a God so that he can dwell, all right? Firstly, I just want to conclude with this. When we think about God's house or God's dwelling place, all right, the first thing, all the examples are given, it seems like the emphasis was the place, like a temple or a tabernacle or maybe just a simple place where Jacob slept, all right? But all this points to that God really wants to dwell on earth. All right, he just wants to have this time with men, all right, this place and time that he can have fellowship with men. But then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, if you all can turn with me, maybe Lynette, you can do that. Okay. If you all turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, so I'll read. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophet Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Okay? Now it shows here that God's dwelling also is in the gathering of his people. Alright? And then the last one is that, number three, God's dwelling in us. Alright? I'm sure you're very familiar with that scripture in 1 Corinthians 6 where it says You know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost or of the Holy Spirit? Okay? So that we are not of our own, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Now, here, about number two, so God's dwelling in his people, then we have to think like this. If I'm building the house of God, if I'm preparing myself, all right, to come, to build the atmosphere, to build a place that God can dwell, I also have to think how I can build with one another. All right? Yes, it is your individual. Remember, there's an individual responsibility, but also there's that corporate fulfillment. All right? Simple things like worship team cannot, no one person can play on their own. All right? We all got to coordinate. We all got to be together, right? Yeah? And then with each other as well, when we, you know, say pastor asks us to pray in the spirit to bring God's presence down, same thing. Cannot be just pastor alone pray. You know, we all got to all build together. We're all coming together to build, right? Because why? In the end, we want the atmosphere to be so, so inviting for God that he will come, and once he comes, he will remain as long as he wants. Amen? All right? That's one. Number three, then, is like, you know, God's dwelling in us. Then we got to think as well. We can think about, yes, I can come, I can pray in the Spirit, you know, together, but our own individual responsibility. Let's remember, our body is also a God's dwelling place. So when I build my life, you know, how am I going to build it in such a way that is inviting for God and that God will remain, like, likes to remain, all right? Are there things in my life that attracts him, or are there things in my life that would repel him? Okay, let's think seriously, because, you know, there's a lot of call about, you know, we got to pray, we got to, you know, worship God and all that. But all these things will also, as we do it, as we decide to do it, or what I find is, as we decide to do it, then God begin to show, actually, you know, this thing in your life, I've done, you know, it's not quite right. Right? And then we begin to adjust. Because we know when the Spirit comes inside, he's not comfortable, and he's not shy to tell us that he's not comfortable. Have you all had that kind of experience? Yeah? Right? And that's where you begin to change from glory to glory. Then you say, oh God, firstly, obviously, you repent. And then you say, God, help me to change. Help me to change. Help me to be that place that is more attractive to, more, what's the word? Attractive. More attractive to you. Right? So all these things that we come together, you know, and pastor have been releasing things like forgiveness. Maybe there is something that, simple things like not forgiving yourself is making the place not enjoyable for God to remain. Maybe having bitterness, that's unforgiveness to others, is making the Holy Spirit very uncomfortable. A dwelling place that is not comfortable for him. Amen? So when we talk about church unusual then, you know, we see all these things coming together. Our own life, when we come together, and then wherever we are when we come, that place becomes church unusual. Amen? So this is what really we want to each of us. When we talk about building God's house, it's not just about resources per se, like money or, you know, or sometimes we think about ushering and all the duties. No, those are important. I'm not saying that that's not important. But we got to think beyond that as well. Okay? It's just that and more. There's so many things in the areas of our life. We got to start contributing in terms of the building of the house of God. Amen? All right? So I'll finish this thing with this. Everyone say with me, come expecting. Okay? Remember, we are expecting to meet God. We are expecting that he will outpour his favor or his blessings. But also, it is a place that his presence will be encountered. Yeah? Then the next one, say with me, come with new mindsets. Okay? We don't just come to fellowship. No, that's good, right? I am on roster today. I gotta go. You know, then we worry so much about, you know, the food or whatever equipment and all that. Then we forgot that we are here to meet God. That's number one. All right, and number three, come to not only receive. Everyone say with me, come not only to receive but also give. Okay, that's the building part, which means when we pray together, pray in the Spirit, have this mentality, I'm also contributing. I'm also contributing. Yeah, amen? All right, that's